This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. News today out in Jefferson City. I tweeted this out a little bit earlier, which is sports betting has been delayed in the state of Missouri. We all know it passed by a narrow margin on the November ballot. There was some thought that this thing could be up and running maybe as early as July 4th weekend, but certainly by week one of the NFL season. Well, that is no longer the case. As the Secretary of State, who is now Denny Hoskins, has rejected the emergency rules that were required to allow the process to start up a little bit sooner. So now this thing is pushed back a couple months. Could still be up and running in early October, late September. The latest it would be is December 1st, according to the amendment. That's what the law said says. So a big blow for those of you in Missouri that were hoping to wager before the start of the NFL season. If you're trying to make like your future bets and things like that, you will have to do those still in the state of Kansas. We'll talk more about this later. Denny Hoskins was a state senator. He blocked sports wagering whenever he could. Now he's a Secretary of State. Even though he's blocking the inevitable, he's still doing it, and I think it's very obvious why.
Spiked. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals baseball on the air today. 2:05 out there in Surprise, Arizona. Cole Reagans will make his first start of spring. As you mentioned, on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Not a stellar lineup. It looks like the biggest names, Hunter Renfroe, MJ Melendez. Decent amount of some of the lower, not tier, but like some of the non-starters. Yesterday was almost a full starter lineup for the Royals across the board. They're off to a good start to start spring, although, as you and I know, I'm not counting on Cactus League champions.
Well, they're winning the World Series now.
Anything, you know?
They're definitely winning the World Series.
What are the Cactus League standings? Where are they, you know?
Well, they're undefeated, right? So first. I don't have to look. I can. They might be tied, but they are first.
And 2-0.
We never made a bet,
3-0.
Did we?
3-0. What's that?
We never made a parlay.
Luckily, we did not do that parlay because that parlay did not hit.
No, but I wish I had bet $2,000 on the Royals' money line like I joked about on Friday, remember?
Jeez. Please gamble responsibly. All right, next on What's Trending, local college basketball over the weekend. An impactful weekend seeding-wise, I think, long-term. One, the Missouri Tigers, they had an issue in the second half against Arkansas. They dropped their game on Saturday. So I think the number three seed in the overall tournament is now out of play. Currently, they're a five seed in Lenardi's Bracketology. That was a loss, obviously, coming off the huge win against Alabama. The Kansas Jayhawks got a much-needed just kind of ass-kicking against an opponent, right? They needed to go and just have some confidence built after that one against Oklahoma State, 96-64 winners. Tonight, they're in action against Colorado. Late one, 9 o'clock this evening.
Okay. For,
or, yeah, 9 o'clock Mountain. I guess you're right, 10 our time. My goodness. That makes no sense. Why is it starting at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock in the Central Time Zone? That should be illegal.
Then the Kansas State Wildcats fell yesterday.
We'll pay attention to like kind of where those things land, as you mentioned. KU, it's just like, can a little confidence actually convince them that they're a good a basketball team again? Because they played so bad. I want to see them against a good team again.
Sure.
Beating up an Oklahoma State, maybe Colorado tonight doesn't tell me anything. Not a lot. Play a good team again and let me see where you are. Next up on Watch Trending, Greg Popovich will not return to the Spurs this season after suffering a stroke earlier this year. And now his entire coaching future is uncertain, according to multiple reports. Obviously, that's going to bring up the name like Bill Self, which comes up pretty regularly. Maybe in about 10 minutes, we can talk about why that's not the same story it would have been 5 years ago because of his friendly nature with Popovich and ownership over there in San Antonio. But yeah, Greg Popovich's coaching career might come to a close.
I think it's over, yeah.
Really stinks. Talk about like a weird spot for Spurs. Blood clots have ended NBA careers before, and now Wimby's already having that problem. And now your Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame head coach might be done forever. That stinks.
Yeah, I mean, Popovich's been dealing with some health issues in his own right, but it feels like this could be it for Greg Popovich, a legendary figure in the sports world and certainly for the Spurs. Last in what's trending, a little local tie with this one. You guys remember the name Juan Thornhill, of course. Yeah. Well, the Browns are releasing the veteran safety. 29 years old, had a year left on his contract, so they're going to give him some time to find another opportunity when the league year opens up. And I know naturally anytime a former Chief gets cut, people are like, well, would you be interested in bringing him back? I think if they move on from Justin Reed, they're probably going to go with the younger guys. I don't know what the market would be like for Juan Thornhill. Usually the Chiefs don't sign a free agent that's going to be 30 in the middle of the year, but you never know.
I mean, at least a familiar face and a similar age to the, it's about the similar age they were cutting bait with safeties, but if it's a 1 year deal, I wouldn't rule it out for someone who's familiar. We'll remind you guys over the next couple of weeks, last Friday during the fan club, I want to let you guys know something this show is doing. Let's just say outside. No, we're not like going against the rules. This is not a station sponsored event, but Gold and I wanted to pay it back a little bit. So a week from Friday, March 7th, we are going to be out at Kelly's in Westport at 6:30 p.m. You listened to this show enough the last quarter of last year that Alex and I had, and Drew, had the number one rated show in our time slot.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for that. And that obviously doesn't happen without you, so that's why we're going to host a little party coming up in a couple Fridays.
Yeah, so because we were number one, they, I'll just be honest with you, they gave us a little financial compensation, and we are going to pass that forward to you. You, we wouldn't get the money if it wasn't for you. So I got a $750 tab at Kelly's, available tonight, till it lasts. I don't know how long. I will say this. Can you bring some money to tip the bar, okay? I'm covering $750 worth of drinks. Can we tip the bartenders? Plus, our friends at Sazerac have agreed to a $250 tab worth of just fireball shots. So should be a good night, I would think. The point is, we wanted to pay it forward. So Friday, March 7th, 6:30 at Kelly's. I've already got a sitter planned and an Uber. So let's have some fun.
You're going to get after it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm going to drink something on that $750. You know? And he, again, like the company didn't give us this money. Kelly's didn't give us this money. It's our money.
Thank you to the listeners.
Yeah. So we wanted to thank people for helping us out. Because again, wouldn't be the case otherwise.
Yeah. We'll hope to see you guys there in a couple of Fridays. Reminder, coming up later on this hour, we're heading out to Arizona. We'll check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. We're expected to have Jack Caglione call into the show as well. Fresh off that home run yesterday. Get his feel for spring training, how that's going. He is top prospect in the Royals organization. So hopefully we'll talk with Jack in just a little bit. Let's get back into what's going to happen this week. I think this is a huge week for the future of the Royals and Chiefs in the state of Missouri, in the state of Kansas. Where are they going to reside? The expectation is on Wednesday in Jefferson City, there is going to be a meeting among state leaders and local officials. This is from the Speaker of the House of Missouri.
We want to meet with the county executive, and I think there's probably an open invitation. I'm always happy to meet with them here in Jeff City or back home. Next week will be just the legislators, some of the legislators, and we really need to get this going and make sure that everybody knows that we have to get this done. I believe that we would need to have something on the November ballot to get the Jackson County funding, and that would be the base for the foundation for any package that's put together.
I had the same reaction that you had and when we heard this piece of audio earlier, which is if you wait till November, I feel like that's too long to wait. You get on the November ballot. The only way I see that playing out is if they already knew the Royals were leaving and that's what's needed to save the Chiefs from leaving. Like I just don't think you can wait until November. You've had time after time to do this. If you're the Chiefs, if you're the Royals, are you really, you're waiting until next November to find out if the public's going to vote yes on something? I don't believe that's what's going to happen.
How'd that go the last time?
Not to mention on the Kansas side, those star bonds, which I guess they could be extended. I believe the current package kind of expires in the summertime. So I think a decision has to happen before they decide the future on the Royals and Chiefs. So Wednesday's a huge day, but I don't know if they can wait till, well, let's see what happens in November on a potential Jackson County ballot again to decide the future.
So I guess a lot of you listen to the show, obviously live in Jackson County. We probably, you know, like I'm going to guess a big chunk of our audience is either Johnson or Jackson County. Not that the Dot and others don't make it up, but certainly those are some of the bigger counties in our area. Would a change being on their own and a change of stadium location to down by Crown Center? Because I think that that's now the, I would say, favorite on the Missouri side for where the Royals would like a potential stadium. Is that enough for you to swing 16 points? Like, that's going to have to be a pretty big swing. Or, as we feared at the time, Gold, is there just no longer an appetite to publicly vote for funding a stadium for an owner anymore on the Missouri side of the state line? Has that because, like, the Kansas hasn't had those professional teams? I think there's a little more hunger. Or they actually don't even have to bring it to a vote, as we know, and can utilize the star bonds to go with it. Because if you don't think that's the case, why bring up a ballot? Why say you want to meet with the Jackson County executive? That went so poorly. Like, is Frank White willing to, I know we just talked about Denny House, but is Frank White willing to bend on this? Even a little? He's never shown any willingness to do that. What will have changed? Kansas having a firm offer on the table to steal the Royals?
I think it's, you know, you referenced even a small portion of this on the sports betting front with how they've operated with that. And the news today with Denny Hoskins as the Secretary of State, and I know it's not directly related to the stadium, but it gives you a clearer picture. Do you trust that things are going to get done? Do you trust that you're going to get what you need done to get the project moving if you're the Chiefs or Royals in the state of Missouri? And I think there has to be a big question whether or not that they can accomplish that. There might be individuals that want to help and make it happen, but does somebody else for their own agenda want to make sure it doesn't happen, or they want to make sure they're getting what they're getting? Like, that, do you believe that that state can actually accomplish it? I don't believe the Royals in any scenario are ever doing a public vote again. The only public vote I could see would be on a potential Chiefs renovation to stay at Truman Sports Complex. That one maybe, but I still think that's too late. I still think that's a little bit too late. The Royals, as far as I'm concerned, I would be stunned if they ever went to a public vote again, because you said with Kansas, they don't need to. Neither do the Chiefs on the Kansas side. And then if they were to stay in Missouri, then I think that would be bypassing Jackson County legislature and they would just go through the city. So I don't believe the Royals will ever have a public vote again when it comes to this current stadium discussion. The Chiefs, I could see it. Again, in the one circumstance when, let's say, the state of Missouri already knew, you tell me 2 months from now, the state of Missouri already knows the Royals are leaving in this hypothetical. And then at that point, the state and the appetite for keeping the Chiefs is stronger, or the county is stronger than it already may or may not be. And then maybe that's something the Chiefs would be willing to wait on. The Royals are done waiting. I don't think they're waiting around for anything.
No, I think they've made it very clear, even more so than the Chiefs, that their plan is to leave, and their plan is to leave by a certain date. The November ballot makes that timeline very difficult. Now, the good news is for them, the original timeline they gave is actually before the lease is up. So if they needed to ride out some more time at the Truman Sports Complex, they would technically be allowed to do so under the fact that they have a contract there. But they made it very clear that that is nowhere near their actual wants and needs. I think their best bet is still to bypass. Like, I know that it feels like then we're skipping the will of the voter, and the voters spoke pretty loud about the Royals and Chiefs together. But here's the problem I think both face right now, and why I think they both have to try to avoid a vote. I think that they, like, hurt. Like, I don't think either passes alone the last time either. I think if the Royals' plan was for the percentage of the tax that they needed, not the full, right, their half of the percentage, and it was the stadium where it was, considering how late they were getting some of the information out. Remember, Gold? Some people were getting flyers on parts of the stadium deal days after the actual vote.
They changed what street they were going to close on the day of.
Yeah, they changed
the day before.
They changed what, like, how far the district was going to go. They were, like, changing boundaries right up to before. They got a lot of negative press leading up to it. So it's going to be a fight. I think both lose if they were standalone. But a lot of ways, I felt like it did even worse because they were together. I'd be fascinated to see how a standalone Royals vote would go, but I don't think it would swing 16 points. Even if you chose ideal location, ideal conditions, it's not moving 16.
Yeah. Ultimately, where the stadiums end up, everybody has their preference, right? Whether you're on the Missouri side or the Kansas side. As someone that's lived in Kansas my whole life, I've gone to Missouri for games. It's not like it's not going to devastate me if I have to keep driving to Missouri. I would hope for a lot of you, if one of the teams ended up in Kansas, it wouldn't prevent you from going. I just don't get that reasoning, quite honestly. Everybody has pride in where they came from and everything like that. And most importantly, these teams are going to stay in the Kansas City area no matter what happens. I think it's pretty clear. That's the most important thing. I'm curious where you guys are at on the text line, 913-586-7. 965. Like I disagree with this top text quite a bit. From the 816, it says, quote, nobody in Johnson County is supporting a non-Patrick-led team. By the time the stadium is done, Patrick's on the verge of retirement. So, a couple things. The amount of years Patrick Mahomes plays in a new building or doesn't play in a new building is not why or why not they're getting a stadium. As far as, like, they're not doing it to, just because yeah. that they want to make sure he plays in a new stadium. The other part is over 50% of the Chiefs season ticket holders are in Johnson County. So that text, I'll call BS on it. Saying nobody in Johnson County is supporting a Chiefs stadium once Mahomes is done. Look, over a majority of the season ticket holder base is in Kansas, and I think a majority of it is in Johnson County, as a matter of fact. So I think that's an incorrect text.
A large percentage of me would be kind of happy if the Chiefs moved to Kansas, because then it'd be like, you know what? I lived in Jackson County pretty much a huge chunk of my life. Good, you foot the bill for a
right,
while.
Right,
yeah. I've told you my stance on publicly yeah. funded stadiums for billionaires. I'm anti it.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's pro. I always laugh when you say that, because I'm like, I don't know anybody that's like pro. I think we all like you.
Some people are more accepting. How about that? Okay, I'm less accepting of it than others.
Yeah.
And I would fight harder to avoid it if I were these municipalities or these counties or these other things. I would also be very, very careful about giving them whatever they want in the circumstances in which they exist. But, like, you know, like, fine, you foot the bill for a while. Like, I told you, football, I think, makes way more sense no matter where you put it in town. I don't, you know, like, the furthest parts of Wyandotte, the furthest tip of Missouri, you go once a week, eight times a year. The travel outside of it, you're already making a day of it. Between tailgating and getting there in game, it's already a whole day. So where it is in town is kind of like how I feel about New England Stadium. They're 45 minutes outside of Boston. People will go because of where it is. Baseball, I still don't think baseball works unless you put in your people. Like, you know, like a lot of people.
But I don't have the exact numbers, but very similarly, a lot of people that go to Royals games are from the suburbs. And so if they end up in the sites that I know Bob's been talking a lot about, 435 and Nall area,
yeah,
if that's ultimately where they go, that's in the suburbs. Now, I think you and I are on the same page with this 100%, which is like that is not my preferred site. Even if that's where it looks like more and more of the momentum is going, I would still prefer downtown baseball. Same. But the idea of like not building it towards people, I would argue that actually 435 and all is closer to their season tickets, even though it's a small season ticket base for the Royals right now. It's still closer to a base of theirs. And I know people get annoyed when I say that. Like, it's not an insult to those of you in Jackson County, but like the reality is a majority of the season ticket holder fan bases are on the Kansas side.
The downtown is centrally located. The reason why I like it, it's centrally located and it allows for a walk-up audience. Typically, when you go to the suburbs, you kind of eliminate that possibility as being regular in that case. Now, look, no matter what, new stadium is going to drive up more people, and there's going to be more people at the game to just see the new stadium. Eventually, winning will have to put the butts in the seats. I don't, like, there is no technical deadline, but there is. I don't know what Missouri has in their head, but there's a real truth to the idea that is, if you take too long, if you keep dragging your feet as long as they already have. Honestly, it's incredible they've been able to drag their feet this long. And the Kansas hasn't already swooped in and convinced one of these teams to leave. This, to me, all this indicates is how long this has taken is that both teams would kind of like the idea of staying in Missouri because Clark wants to be at Arrowhead and the Royals want to be downtown. And they're trying to give Missouri and Jackson County chance after chance after chance to stay on this side of the state, on the Missouri side of the state line. And it's just like, you're taking too long. Kansas is going to win this argument eventually if you don't get off your ass.
I think there's
it feels
truth
like
to
get
that.
Off your ass is like a month. Like, I don't think they have that much time left.
Yeah, I think there's truth to that. There's also the public perception if you're either owner, and let's say you do pick up your bags and go across the state line. From a PR perspective, you wanted to make it. You also want to make sure everybody knows that you exhausted every effort to stay. Versus like you didn't ditch us, you left us for Kansas kind of
thing.
You
didn't give us a choice. We had to.
Well, hey, we tried and we tried and we tried. The state and local government and the county, all that didn't get us what we wanted. If in fact they end up leaving, and I still don't think that nobody can sit here and say 100% by any means that they know exactly what's going to happen. I think it's becoming clearer maybe in which way some of the team or one of the teams is leaning. But nobody definitively knows. I still, the huge chunk of me still believes one ends up in Kansas and one ends up in staying in Missouri.
I can't, you know, at this point, that's because I don't know. It'd be like hedging. Yeah, probably.
I've been saying that from the beginning. But
no,
yeah,
I know. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm saying, like, that's how I feel about it. Yeah. I'm not, I don't have a strong sense of where they're ending up.
I'll say because if both ended up, if both end up,
the longer it takes, the more I think they end up in Kansas.
If both end up in Kansas, what a complete royal F up by the state of Missouri. If that's ultimately what happens,
they have no pro sports teams left. The Rams left for it. Well, they have the Cardinals
and the Blues.
So it's like they would have let both NFL teams leave. One of the Major League Baseball teams leave. Yeah, and you're right. They would still have the Cardinals and the Blues. So of the four majors, because obviously, you know, the current and, you know, St. Louis's soccer team, SL City, I can't remember what their men's team is. Sporting's on the Kansas side. But, you know, like, but of the four majors, the ones that people view as these massive economic benefits, you got none in Kansas City? None? That starts to feel weird. That'd be really weird. After all this. No, but I don't have a strong, like, yeah, if you made me guess, I'd say one in Kansas, one in Missouri. But I think Missouri does have a timeline. This meeting on Wednesday is important. That's why we're talking about it. They have a meeting on Wednesday, and it's important. I know Mayor Q had said that he had met with John Sherman at spring training, and I'm sure he'll meet with him again. It's important. You got to figure a way to convince them you're going to take care of them, or they're going to, yeah, go look at 435 and Null, I think is the only site I'm hearing mentioned in Kansas very often, and the site obviously down by Crown Center on the Missouri side.
Yeah, I do you think by the time we get to July 1st?
No, I don't know, man. I don't know how many times I've guessed this wrong.
I think
like five times I've probably been wrong on this deadline.
I think we know on one of them. I don't think we'll know on both. I think we'll know on one of them, and then that once the one makes a decision, then the other one will have ultimate leverage even more than they already have. Because if you're the last remaining team in Missouri, let's say it's the Chiefs.
I guess I'll say no. I don't know. I mean, I dead serious thought this was going to be done a year ago. Like a year ago, I thought we'd know. And we're still here with no indicator of which way it's going. So before I guess wrong again, maybe one by July 1st. That's my best guess.
All right, coming up next here, we're going to head out to Surprise, Arizona. We're expected to hear from Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Then we'll also get back into what we're seeing happen from one particular Royals player who now may not be joining us till the 1 o'clock hour or tomorrow, but we'll do that next. Back here on Cody and Gold, we're going to head out to Arizona and check in with Vern here in about 10 minutes or so. And also, we've been updating you throughout the show. Spring training, things are very fluid with schedules and games and workouts and meetings, etc. So we were expected to have Jack Caglione this hour. It doesn't look like that is going to happen. There's a chance we'll get him at the end of the one. If not, we'll have maybe something for you tomorrow. But so apologies there. But that's just the moving target that is trying to catch a baseball player in the middle
coming
of a busy
off
spring training.
practice field, hitting a 600-foot home run. You know, you got to time it out sometimes, which is fine. We're looking forward to talking to Jack Caglione when we get a chance. Meanwhile, there was a little juice with Jack Caglione yesterday, as he got his first home run of spring yesterday. We can hear from him in just a minute and what Q had to say about the, I would say, very loud home run from Caglione. But I'll get asked the same question everyone else does. Anytime we got a prospect like this, he's number 22 in baseball, I think, according to MLB Pipeline. He's the number one overall prospect in the Royals farm system. He is highly thought of in baseball, and a huge chunk why is because he had a great career in Florida. He's coming off a really good fall league, and he hits very, very, very far home runs. If your question is the same as everyone else's, which is, how soon can I watch Jack Caglione play in the big leagues? The answer is you better be patient. Like, I hate to say that because it's more fun for them to get up soon, but based on anything you and I have heard, based on anything I've gotten a sense of, and what I think will have to take place in order for him to prove he is ready to be a full-time, everyday big league player. Hey, August, July, if the right injury happened, and for some reason he got called up, he's going to have to be able to learn right field and hit well while doing it in double and maybe even triple A before he gets a call-up. And I also think it requires Renfroe being bad, or Massey and India not working in the corners, or Vinny getting hurt, or a number of things to occur in order for Caglione to get called up this year.
Look, there's also a real chance that he doesn't get called up at all in 2025. And that doesn't mean you should be like panicking that, oh my gosh, he's not on the track and the path that the Royals organization believe. A lot has to happen, both for his own performance, you referenced in double A. I think because of the outfield situation, I think he would also go get reps at right field in AAA. I think he needs a lot more right field reps, because if you're just saying, well, just bring him up to hit, well, there has to be room for him even in July or August. It means an injury occurred. Remember, technically, without the outfield, he's basically Vinny's position, right? And so if Vinny's healthy And right field play is going well. It's very unlikely, I think, Jack Caglione would get called up in that scenario. But this is a much further down the road discussion in terms of this season, but everybody should be excited. You can see the pop. You know, you want him to go get acquire a big bat. Well, this is going to be that guy. I just don't know if that's in 2025 or we're going to have to wait till 2026. But he's done nothing to, you know, simmer down the hype and the expectation.
It's just rare power. I mean, he possesses a skill that, like, Gallo and Soler, and, like, it's not that we've never seen a Royals play, like, but I mean, it is rare power. The exciting part about it is the obvious, which is if he figures out how to get on base or to hit for any kind of average, like not even some, just any kind of, like 250, 260, well, then you're talking about one of the best power hitters in baseball because his whole thing is swing and miss, which is a problem for a lot of big power hitters across baseball. But that's the thing they actually, like when I talk to people inside the organization, that's the thing they want to see improve. They want to make sure that this guy's going to come up here and not strike out 35% of the time he steps up to the dish, or 30% of the time he steps up to the dish, and instead strike out 20 like everyone else.
Yeah,
I know that doesn't seem like a big swing, but that's a massive difference for being an everyday player.
And the reason why people are asking on the text line, hey, is he going to pitch or whatever?
Not right now.
No, that's not their focus. And he has a much quicker path, of course, to get to the big leagues if he's just focused on hitting. He's a college player, but if you all of a sudden wanted him to really develop being able to have talent to pitch at the big league level, then that makes it a much further track, you know, for him to get to the big league.
I also think that would be part of it. Off-season thing, don't you? Like, don't you just think that would be like a 2 years from now, he proves he's a great everyday major leaguer?
Got to establish himself.
Yeah, you prove that you're a great everyday major leaguer or a really bad one, and now you want to develop the other talent.
Right.
Real Noon goes one of two ways. Yeah. Then you can be like, hey, I want to pitch.
Here's what Q had to say about that hit yesterday and more on what we've seen from Caglione so far in spring training.
Screwing that up, that was loud, you know, and it didn't look like a huge effort on his part either. It was like, we know he's got a huge pop, but to be able to put that good swing on the ball in a game like that, close game, you know, controlling his emotions and stuff, it was good to see.
It just seemed like it was like the loudest off the bat. I mean, does that kind of like make your head pop up a little bit? Like,
yeah, I mean, we've seen him taking BP and, you know, saw him in the fall league do the same thing. So, I mean, it's not surprising, but it definitely gets your attention.
Who have you thought of the first few games of this ABS? I mean, not what do you think of it, but the implementation of it.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I think the hard part is for the veteran guys to get used to even having it, you know, so, and it's not something that they're going to have during the season, so I think they'll utilize it a little bit more as the spring goes on, but early on, I think everybody's just kind of getting their feet wet.
I think that last question was in regards to the strikes, automated strike zone or whatever, but the beginning, of course, was about Caglione, just like the sound off the bat, and it'll get your attention. It'll get your attention just the same way. I don't know. The Royals had like, it felt like four different angles on their social media account.
Oh, God, I like that sound. That sounds like a baseball that just got murdered.
Well, it did. In fact, it did. I think somebody looked it up, or maybe it was it Nick Capel, maybe with the Royals, who tweeted out if it was a regular season game.
I saw Slang on Sports put this out, like the Statcast numbers on it.
Yeah, again, I know it wasn't a regular season game, but if it was, it would have been like the third hardest hit ball in Royals history or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just tells you where the track record, where this guy could project or does project. But yeah, we're just saying, you know, don't in June 1st, if he's hitting well in Double A and Renfro's struggling, don't be upset if he's not called up, okay?
I guess a lot of this is, and this goes back to the conversation you and I had yesterday, day before, last Friday, where it's just like, he's in a tough spot, I told you, because the hype and the last player to have a lot of hype had a tremendous amount of success. I always think that makes it harder for people to like, I want it now. Because as you remember going into that spring training, it was not a for sure 100% lock they were going to start Bobby up with the big league club. They got to a whole offseason before they did that. And I actually think as an organization, there's a real benefit to saying, this is the year you'll be in the bigs. You're a big league player. You're on our 40-man roster. Treat spring like you're going to break as one of the 26 members of this ball club. You're a player for this team, and we're starting the year that way versus the challenges that come with, you know, trying to kind of get through that. And, like, it's tough with AAA because, in a lot of ways, for the Royals organization, I like when their pitchers stay in AA. And if they want confidence, I guess put your hitters in AAA because that is a hitter-friendly ballpark. Like, you can so much as get one off the end of the bat and it still goes out in Omaha. So sometimes I think what happens is we see some real 4A players mash at the AAA level for the Royals, where you're like, oh my God, look at this guy. Can't wait to get Edward Olivares up to the big
might have
He's hitting like 600 down there. And I like AA, I think, will be the more telling story for him in a lot of ways.
And I think this current regime and how they handled Bobby Wood Jr. too, like, I'm not worried about them rushing or anything like that, where you get concerned about that or feeling like the pressure to call up somebody that's not quite ready. They're going to be very patient.
Yeah, they're not in a position right now.
And it's the right decision to let this play out a little bit. One of these weekends where the Royals are not at home and they're on the road, we can match it up when he's in Fayetteville or he's in Omaha. Might be a nice weekend to drive up or down, depending on where we're going to go to watch some CAGs.
Because, and yes, by the way, the text I was asking, the Royals game will be right here at 96.5 The Fan today at 2 yep. o'clock. So you can catch the game right here in the home for the Royals. Were you going to say something, Drew? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're just talking about your... Right. We're going to have Vern maybe join us here in a couple minutes, and he was just giving us some details.
It sounded like it was on the air, not in my ear, so I got confused.
Was that on the air?
No, my mic was off. I was in your room. Okay. Anyways, the mic was off. I don't know if we're having issues. Anyways,
yeah.
What do you think goes through like Q's head as he, like when the ball's hit? Is there any point where he's just a manager mode? Like, oh yeah, yeah, all right, well, no,
that's
nice.
That's what he was asked.
Or is it? I mean, along the lines of
everyone does the same thing. I've been around baseball
crap,
a lot.
Holy crap! He hit that ball hard. Like, if you have that reaction of, oh my gosh, like I don't know if I've ever heard a ball hit like that.
I've been around a lot of baseball players and a lot of baseball managers over the year. They all react the same way we do when someone hits a ball that hard, which is, dear God,
excuse me,
the hell just happened?
That was in the audio we just played. Yeah,
based on spring training stats, really not giving you the full story. Although the Royals are 3-0 in the Cactus League, Caglione is the most interesting player in all of spring this year, right?
Easily.
He is the at-bats I want to see the most of by a lot. Yeah, Kuderna and some of these other like prospect guys who might come into the bullpen later. And yeah, I want to make sure that Reagans and Lugo still look pretty good. But like, it's not like must watch Reagans on the bump today, two innings of spring training baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime Caglione, if I'm near a TV or like near social media and Caglione's up to bat, I am like box scoring, like, what did he do today in surprise? How did it go in Arizona for Caglione today? Because I'm curious and I want to track it. And I think that that's probably where those things, you know, like that's all.
You've got to think, though, that as soon as he hit that ball, like JJ Piccolo, like a smile, he had to have been smirking a little bit. Like, okay.
Yeah. Sure. But I think they know that's what he can do. Yeah. And they saw it all
to
all
see
fall.
It is one of those things where you hear about it, you see it, in fall ball or whatever the case is, in college, of course, as well. But to hear that sound, I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
No, it's impressive.
It echoed.
I just like, it sounds mean. Like, I want more of that. I'd like to see that in person. But you're right, maybe we take a... I'm thinking a road trip's a real possibility. Problem is, we got to do it early.
Well, because he also could get called up to AAA in the middle of the season, so it might have to, Fayetteville early. If we get there mid-May or so, Fayetteville safe. If we schedule that thing for late June or July, he could be in AAA at that point in time. We're going to talk more about this with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. His Hot Stove Show comes your way Thursday night at 6 o'clock. We obviously have just been kind of like fawning over Jack Caglione today, Vern, as I'm sure it's pretty easy to do when you see him hit a home run like that in person.
Yeah, and he's got big league show hair. He's a handsome dude. He's a strong dude. He's a young dude. And he's a rich dude. So, yes, it's easy to be enamored with everything that he brings and everything that he could bring moving forward.
Is he single? What's the deal? You're talking like you're maybe trying to set him up on a date.
Well, I was leaving that to you guys. When you get the chance to sit down with
Pat. All right, we'll ask him.
Yeah, it's an easier question than, hi, Josh Vernier, you're 96.5. Are you single, bro?
That's great. That's terrific.
I don't know if that's the best way. I don't think that's the best way to get off on the right foot with this kid.
You know,
you guys, you know.
It's a little different. We're here. We don't have to see him every day.
Loosen him up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, a little more cat. Well, because, you know, like one of the things I wanted to ask him was whether or not he was going to do his kind of now infamous Florida home run trot in the big leagues. Have you seen, he did like a robot where just stat and just walks like this, super serious all the way to home.
I haven't seen that.
Have you seen that, Vern?
Does it take as long as it would a robot to get around the bases?
It's not like that. It's kind of like more, it's like he's walking like the Terminator is more how I would describe it.
Still, you'll wear one. You do that in your rookie campaign.
That's why I wanted to ask about it. Yeah.
My guess is there's no chance he's doing that. There's no chance.
That's because the ump told him to stop celebrating, I think, and that was why he basically mocked him, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely not doing that in the big leagues. Definitely.
Okay, I do remember that. And, yeah, that was the perfect flex, especially when you're that guy at that school hitting those type of bombs. Yes, you show up the umpire. Big leagues might be a little bit of a different story, at least at first, but you start... You know, putting up Jorge Soler-type exit velos in a big league game, yeah, you could start showing up. You can do the old Max Muncy did to Madison Bumgarner. You want the ball, go get it out of the ocean.
No,
oh, I loved that.
We were discussing, there's always, I guess, some ridiculous scenario where he hits 20 home runs or something, but is there really any path for Caglio not to be starting the season in Double-A?
Outside of injury, no, I don't see it, because there's no way you're going to throw a kid a year removed from the draft into a position that he's never played before. And right now you would assume that would be the only available at-bats would be Cags getting some time out in right field. I don't think we see him moonlight in the outfield until hopefully a quick bump up to AAA. If he starts raking in AA and the team needs an offensive bat, you find a new position for him in Omaha. But yeah, outside of an injury to a Salvi or a Vinny, I don't see the avenue to him having a spot on the opening day roster. And the way that the coaching staff is talking about him, you know, they understand the type of hype and expectations and excitement and everything that's going on around it. So they're very much hands-off, just enjoy being a big leaguer out here in spring. Take your reps, learn from Salvi, learn from Vinny, learn from Bobby, and let the chips fall where they may. We're not even talking him in the big leagues right now.
Vern, when you look at the rest of the roster, one of those things that we got to figure out and write if Caglione would have a spot is how everything's going to go in the corner outfield, obviously, and left with Massey and India. I've seen some, and I think reasonable concerns, that if Massey was having a hard time staying healthy, how does playing an outfield position keep him more healthy or not risk further injury out of there? Like, I know they're doing 50-50. Are they just seeing who's better in left field? Is this a good idea for Massey, a guy with a little bit of an injury history, to be in an outfield position?
Well, listen, the back bothers him most when, fielding ground balls, bending over for those ground balls. Not so much at the dish, and we'll see how much bending over he does out in left field. When I asked Q about how they're managing Massey in the back and all of the issues that he's dealt with over the past 3-4 seasons, his response was, we're not even thinking about it. You know, until he comes to us and says, hey, it's barking again, we're going to have him go through a regular spring training as if there was no lingering back issue, and he feels fine so far in spring. Now, as far as is it a good idea, you know, learning a new position at the big league level isn't something, in my opinion, that teams that are fighting for a division championship often do. Although, right, Jose Altuve is doing it in Houston.
Yeah.
I have to believe the Astros think they have a chance to win the NL West. But look, how long did it take MJ Melendez, who's probably an even better athlete than Massey in India, how long did it take him to feel really comfortable out there in left field? I think that's still ongoing. Now, he looked good for a majority of last season out in left, but, you know, again, is it a good idea? I think it's reflective of a team that understands that once you get past Salvi and Vinny in the lineup, that 5-9, there are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those are all question marks for this team right now. So the idea of having them in left is solely for the offensive boost, but there's no question about it. The defense takes a major hit if Massey's not at second base.
Do you have your sunglasses on, Vern? It sounds like that might have been a problem the other day.
Yep. First opportunity for Jonathan India out there in left, and lost it in the sun. Did not get another opportunity, but did find those sunglasses after that Went down as a double, so no E7, courtesy of the sun. But yes, he has found his sunglasses, and I have as well. My sunglasses, I went to get them a few years ago, and I wanted some cool Ray-Bans, and the lady said, your head's a little bit too big to be wearing those.
Oh, dang!
I mean, there are certain sunglasses that fit better on certain people's faces than others. That's true.
And that's why she was there. She saved me from looking dumber than I normally do.
I honestly respected that woman. You know, that's not an easy thing to have to tell somebody, but she's looking out for you.
Yeah, it hurt. I'm not gonna lie, it hurt at the time. Your face is too wide and white and flat to wear those glasses.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I can't wear any pair of sunglasses Patrick Mahomes has ever worn.
Oh, just, I know. Jeez.
You know.
No. You got to either be a high-level athlete or, like, you're some, like, 9-year-old kid that's just wearing it around and nobody's going to say anything.
Right, yeah. You can't just be I certainly can't walk around here with these forearms with those kind of glasses. I'll get laughed out of this place.
Speaking of injury, just real quick, Vern, Cole Reagans, he's going to be on the bump today at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Is it organizationally, do you get a sense of if they're more or, like, I think this can go either way. He pitched career high in innings. He finally stayed healthy for an entire year. Does that give them more confidence he's past the injury stuff or fear that that workload catches up to you, right? Because you were able to stay healthy for an entire year. How much confidence do they have, you know?
Yeah, I think they're very confident that that was the beginning of what we're going to see consistently for Cole Reagans. And again, and you guys have heard this, that they view it as really one Tommy John, even though he underwent two, right? The first didn't take. So, I haven't really sensed, you know, the concern if we're talking innings, it's Chris Bubich. That's a guy that they're going to monitor his innings as we get deeper into the season. But, you know, Lugo, Waka, Reagans, all of them. Yeah, I know all three of them have goals of matching their inning total of a season ago. But if not, you know, that's why you bolster the bullpen to the lengths that JJ and this organization did. If you're not getting 200 out of Lugo, 200 out of Reagans, and a .180 out of Michael Waka. I mean, we already know you're without Brady Singer in those 180 innings. So they need to come from somewhere. And yes, the bullpen will, you would hope, eat up a large chunk of it. But, you know, this team can't afford too much regression from its great players. Bobby, Salvi, Vinny, and those big three in the rotation, they need to come pretty darn close to the numbers they put up last season if this team's going to walk away with the Central.
Josh Furnier, our Royals insider, his Hot Stove Show on Thursday night. And, of course, he'll check in with us each and every day throughout spring training. Enjoy the game this afternoon, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
There you go, Josh Furnier. Text line, as you can imagine, very quick to social media, you know, stalk and snoop around, and got our answer already on Cagliano.
Oh, really?
He is engaged to somebody that from Florida.
Oh, okay.
I think a volleyball player, or something, yeah.
He's engaged, huh?
That is based on the text line. All the young Royals
players, you know? Oh, no, yeah, he posted a thing that said, can't wait to marry.
This past June, I think. So his text line was all over. The minute we were talking about it with Vern, they were all over.
Dude, on one knee, he's almost as tall as his girlfriend. I swear to God. look,
he's listed at 6'5". I've never seen him in person.
Volleyball player.
He's down on one knee. Angle, he's almost as tall as her.
Some of it's the angle, too. The angle in the photo.
What the hell?
But
she's a volleyball player, according to him. She can't be short.
I've never seen him in person. I don't think you have either. So, but he's listed at 6'5". I'll say he's 6'5", then.
Just making an observation. He just looks almost as tall as her in the engagement photo. So I guess we don't have to ask him that. We now know.
That is cleared up. That would have been really awkward if you would actually, you should say, save the awkwardness. Like, I'm engaged. I'm like, oh well, that's nice.
Okay. I'll let all the single women of Kansas City know. You're unavailable. Got it.
So while
I'm at it, anyone in Fayetteville and Omaha, in case those are the two stops before.
We can move past that questioning when Cagliano maybe joins us. If not, late in the show, maybe tomorrow.
The last thing you guys want to do is get on, not his bad side, but just be like, okay, it's an interesting question.
Yeah, I don't know if Vinny has warned him or not.
It just kind of depends. You know this is. This is person to person. Some people might respond to that line of question and have a little fun with it. Some might not take to it too well. Vinny certainly will take some of our jokes in stride or just tell us to stop it. it's person to person.
That's right.
That's all. Just varies.
The Jonathan India thing, it's like, it's a small thing. It's just annoying. It's like, wear the sunglasses, dude. Come on. What are we doing?
It's Arizona. You can't see a fly ball in Arizona.
You can't not see a ball in left field in the sun and also not be wearing sunglasses. Like, come on, man. Come on.
He learned his lesson?
Come on.
He's new to left field.
He's not a veteran. I understand he's new to left field.
Spring training is really hard.
Look at you being optimistic, Drew. How about that? Look at that take.
It's game one in left. Come on, you know?
That's an easy fix. It's just that in the majors, you'll see it happen every once in a while where someone has sunglasses on the top of their head and they don't actually wear the sunglasses. That's even worse. When you've got the sunglasses on top of your head, you miss a fly ball and the glasses were right there and you didn't wear them. I'll never understand that one.
It's a bad feel. Yeah, that's worse than just not having them. Not having them is you left them on the bench and they don't let you just like usually jog in and go get your sunglasses real quick. Maybe a ball boy could bring them out to you. But like, when they're on top of your head and then you drop the ball, that's a bad look.
All right, up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour, an update on why you're going to have to wait longer to wager on sports in the state of Missouri, plus a random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold.